Madagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi, and to start this new series of King's Kids, Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison is going to share how he found God's perfect partner in marriage while he was still in prison. Tony's early life was full of problems and trouble, mostly of his own making. During one of his stretches in prison, Tony received a promise from God that he would meet his future wife while serving time. Here's the beginning of this amazing story.
Today I want to talk about waiting for the right one, waiting for the right person to marry. Especially for young people, you know, you need to know that God has everything in control, especially your partner. So if you want a partner and you don't want to just jump into it, then you stop and think about it. Who knows best? God knows everything from the start to the finish about you before you was even born. So God is the one that can give you the perfect partner. And you know, it's up to you to make it work, because God's going to do everything else to make it happen. And I want to start my story today about when I first went to prison. When I was in prison, I was in there for 5 years as a non-Christian. And just before I got out of prison, my first wife divorced me while I was in prison. And those sort of letters the prison authorities keep from you. So it wasn't until I was getting out that they actually served me with the papers that I was divorced. And when I got out, I did a few things, as you all know. But just before I went back into prison, I made contact with my son from that relationship. And he was 5 years old, and I'd been in prison for 5 years, and he didn't know his father. And when I went there, she told my son that I was just a friend visiting. And after being there half an hour, he came out of the bedroom with a photo of me and his mum and him as a baby. And she'd always told him that's your dad. But she'd told him that I was dead. And when I came to visit, I had to fight tooth and nail just to let her let me come and see him. And so when I turned up this day, he said to me, he said, "You're not mummy's friend." He said, "You're my dad." And he said to his mother, he said, "I hate you because you told me my dad was dead and my dad's here." And you know what? That affected me to hear him say things like that, not realizing that she told him that I was dead. See, when we tell lies in any situation, they come back to bite you. You know, she had been telling him lies for 5 years because that's probably what her parents wanted her to do, to have nothing to do with me. And so, you know, it's okay. I can tell a little lie now, but sooner or later, those lies catch up with you. And they hit home hard when they do catch up with you. So what happened was, I was getting interested in God. I was still committing crimes, but still interested in God at the same time. And then when I got arrested after the shootout with police and after I got saved in the bull rushes, you know, I was in a police station. And what was so very annoying was that she worked in the building next door. And she came over and saw me. And she said, "You'll never, ever see your child again. Or, you know, I don't want nothing to do with you." She said, "You lost him." Sitting there, brand new Christian, in a prison cell, in a lockup, I could have got up and went for a drink of water. I would have trod on my lip. My lip was hanging down that far. Being told, "You're never going to see this little boy again." And I've only just seen him twice, you know, in 5 years. And then that night God spoke to me, just reconfirming what he said to me the night I walked with him after I got saved in the bull rushes. God told me lots of things. God said he wanted me to give myself up. And God said to me, "Don't look at the prison sentence. Don't look at the amount of time you're going to get." Because God said to me, "Tony, I'm going to send someone to the prison. And when you meet this person, you're going to marry this person within 6 months from the time that you meet this woman. You have to promise that you're going to set a wedding date for 6 months, because 6 months from that day is the day you're going to get married." And to me, that meant I was going to be out of jail. Even though you can get married in prison, you're going to apply for a special license and get permission to get married, especially if you're doing a long sentence. You know, you can't ask to get married in prison. But I didn't take it that way. I took it that God wanted me to get married on the outside. But you see, God is so precise, especially if you're looking for a husband, if you're a lady out there looking for a husband or a single man and you haven't given up on love yet and you're waiting for the right woman to come along. Well, this is a story you need to listen to because, you know, often I say that when I'm preaching to young kids, I talk about Mills and Boone. Well, for you young people out there that have no idea what Mills and Boone is, Mills and Boone is a publishing company that publishes all them love stories, the feel-good love stories where you need a tissue when you sit down to read them. You know, you get so caught up in the story, you need four or five tissues every time you pick up the book. Well, this is better than Mills and Boone because this is a promise from God Almighty himself. God says, if you will seek me in all things, I will give you the desires of your heart, especially if your desires line up with my will. And you know, when God says he wants to be part of our lives, he just doesn't mean go to church on Sunday for 40 minutes or an hour every Sunday and live like the devil for the rest of the week. When God says he wants us to have a heart after him, God wants us to be in a relationship with God, and that's 7 days a week. God knows each and every one of you listening to this show. He knows your heart, he knows your desires, he knows your thoughts, and he knows if you're looking for love, especially if you're a teenager and you're desperate to find a man in your life, if you're a young girl or if you're a man or a young man looking for the love of your life, don't rush out and take the first thing that comes along. Put your heart and your faith and your trust in God, and God will find you the perfect partner. And I'm going to share this story better than Mills and Boone, better than anything you're going to see on television, how good God was, because God kept his word and his promises. What God said to me was, he said, Tony, I want you to give yourself up. I want you to go back to prison. But he said, I want you to keep your eye out, because I'm going to send a woman to the prison. You see, God is not only precise. He said, when I send this woman to the prison, she's going to have two children. And you're going to marry this woman, and you're going to set a wedding date from the very first time that you meet this woman, for 6 months from the day you meet her. And God said, trust me, I will deliver what I promised. And you know, when I went to prison, you know, after about 12 months, I wasn't getting any visits. And then I'm thinking, well, how's this woman going to know I'm in prison? And anyway, a friend, it was not only a friend I considered a friend, but he was one of the men that abused me sexually when I was a kid. He gave his heart to God. And he started to come to the prison to visit, probably out of a guilty conscience or whatever else. Because sometimes he used to say things like, you know, you can't tell anybody. I'm a Christian now. I'm doing these things. You can't really tell anybody about what happened when you was a kid. And he started bringing women to the prison to visit and youth for me to talk to and people to write to me. And over a period of about 2 years, I must have had about 20 or 30 different women, Christians, who wrote to me and wrote to me on a regular basis. And I'm thinking to myself, God, which one of these is the one you're going to send? Because I found favour in prison, I went to the prison authorities and I said, listen, I've been approached by a couple of the churches and they want to come in and they want to put on a concert around Christmas time. And the authority said yes. And one of the groups that came in, they came in two buses. There was 100 people in their choir. And 50 of them was women. Me and I sat in the front row. And because I was the one that invited them in, I got to meet them. I got to go behind stage and talk to people. And sat out in the front row. And man, it was just like a kid in a lolly shop. I mean, I kept saying to God, which one is she? Which one is she? Is it one of these? Is it one of these? And you know, after that concert, a couple of the Christian women, actually one of them was a nurse, and she said to me, what's your classification? I said, it's minimum security. I can go out on day leave. And so she said, well, can I come and take you out on a day leave? And I thought, I got so excited. I said, this has got to be it. This has got to be the one. God sent her along. You know, she wants to take me out on a day leave. But when she turned up, she had five other women and five blokes with her. And, you know, we went and had a picnic, and I was playing rugby union first grade at the time, and I wasn't expected to play because I was on a day leave. And this woman and her friend said, "We'd love to see you play." So I turned up in the dressing shed, and one of the guys took my gear out, and I played football. And to my disappointment, we just stayed pen friends for a while, and nothing ever happened. And, you know, I pestered God continually. I'd say to God, I was like a serial pest. And you know what? This woman came to the prison. She was a friend of a friend, and I've only seen her at football games, and I didn't know her very well anyway. She was quite a nice young lady. She had plenty of money, and her family had money, and she came to the prison and called me out, and she said, "Brother Tony," she said, "I come to visit you because God told me that we're going to get married." And, you know, as much as she was a nice young girl, I looked at her and I said, "Oh, God, yeah, are you sure you really want me to marry this woman?" I said, "God, just leave me in jail." Yeah, another 3 or 4 years, not a problem. She was a nice young lady, and I said to her, I didn't want to hurt her feelings. I said, "Well, if God told you that we're going to get married," I said, "let me tell you this, God won't just tell you, he'll tell me as well. Or he'll tell somebody else, he'll tell me, and it'll be confirmation to what God has already put in my heart." So I said, "Look, I like you as a friend, and I don't mind you coming to visit, but no wedding bells. Unless God really speaks to me, there'll be no wedding bells." And this continued on and on. Different people come to the prison, built relationships and friendships with them, but there was nothing from God. And I kept reminding God of his promises. Night after night, locked up in a prison cell, I'd say to God, "But you promised, but you promised, but you promised." And you know what? Nothing happened. You see, God's plan is an overall plan. We don't see God's big picture. And what happened was, God was putting things in place to put me to where I was going to be, where I was going to meet the right woman. And what had happened was, prison guards tried to murder me at least 6 times, and I was removed from that prison, and I was transferred to a minimum security prison. And while I was there, this person came to visit me. And you see, I'd forgotten all about the promises of God about this woman because I was pretty content with life. I had a good job in the prison. I was fit. I trained every day. I just was cruising. I taught Bible study. I spent a lot of time with God up in the mountain praying. And because I had the freedom of the prison, I was the boundary rider of the prison. And I had about 10 square miles to check the fences every day. So I often was in the bush by myself, and I had plenty of time to communicate and talk to God. And anyway, I was out praying one Sunday morning, and God spoke to me. And he said, "Tony, the woman that you're going to marry is down in the prison." Well, I reckon my heart missed a beat or two. And I said to God, I said, "Are you sure? Did I hear you right? Are you telling me that if I go down to the prison, have a shower, shave, a dad and Dave, get me best prison greens on, that I'm going to go out there and I'm going to meet the woman that you want me to marry?" And God said, "That's right." So I flew down that mountain like a gazelle. And you have a look at the size of me now, I wouldn't run out of sight in the dark night. And I goes, had a shave, put me best prison greens on. Then my name was called out, and I couldn't believe it. And I had no idea someone was coming to visit me, let alone a woman that God wanted me to marry. So I goes up to the visiting fence, and I look through a knot hole in the palings. I saw this person who'd been visiting me on and off for 2 or 3 years when I was in maximum security to medium security. And this is the first time he's come to minimum security. And he had 2 women with him. I was reminded of the presence of God, what God had said to me. "The woman that you're going to marry is going to be a woman with 2 kids. And when I looked through the paling on the fence, I saw 2 women, and one was Catherine Knight, which I'll tell you a bit more about later. But Catherine and I were sweethearts when we was 14 and 15 years old. And Catherine went on to be, later on, she was convicted of one of the worst murders in this country. In fact, you know, she was sentenced to never be released. And I'll touch a bit on that later on. But what happened was, when I saw her on the visit, I knew she had two kids. And this other guy was standing there talking to me and that, and fear came over me. Because, see, I had a promise from God that when I meet this woman, I was going to get married, get out of prison within 6 months. But the fear of the devil got into my ear hole, and all I could see was Catherine. And knowing she had two kids, and I said, there's no way in the world I could marry Catherine. She's a lovely woman. You know, we're like brother and sister these days. And I still love the woman, but I couldn't have married her. And I said to God, when I went out on the visit, the other woman was a beautiful young woman, probably late 20s, maybe early 30s. She was drop-dead gorgeous. She was beautiful. But I didn't see any of that. In fact, I didn't even talk to her all day. I mean, I was so scared that God would want me to marry Catherine. I didn't even talk to Mandy. I didn't even ask her anything about herself. And she must have thought I must have been the rudest, arrogant man she'd ever met in her life, because I barely said g'day to her. And let alone look at her twice for the whole day, I didn't even look at her. And it was a funny day that they visited that day, because the prison band, made up of prison guards, was actually there, and they had some shield built and they had some number. She must have thought she was not just a prison guard. She must have thought she was a operatic singer, and lucky I'm a bit deaf, because she was hard to listen to. But it was like being in a room full of a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, because, you know, it was painful. Anyway, we had lunch and the visit come to a conclusion, and I barely looked at Mandy. I barely shook her hand, and I couldn't even really remember her name. I was so terrified that God wanted me to marry Catherine. And when the visit finished, I went up to the sporting field to get away from all the other prisoners. And I got up there by myself, and I was desperate. And if you're out there and you've never been desperate to get a hold of God and talk to God, I mean, we've all been really desperate, but I'm very vocal. I got up there and I got by myself and I screamed out to God, and I said, God, God, I screamed out to him at the top of my voice. I said, God, how could you do this to me? After all these years in prison, you want me to marry Catherine Knight? And I heard God speak to my heart, and he said, you dumb black fella, it was the other woman. That's the woman that I wanted you to marry. And I felt so stupid. I felt so really stupid. And I said to God, I said, well, if she's the woman that I was meant to marry, then how can I set a wedding date for 6 months because I met her today? And I said, God, I don't really want to tell you how you do your job, but how do I know it's going to be her? Is it her that you really want me to marry? And I knew she lived in Muswellbrook. And you really got to get this. You got to really listen carefully. I was in prison. And it was halfway between Glen Innes and Grafton. And they picked the mail up for the prison on Monday, Wednesday and Friday. They didn't pick the mail up any other time. And because she was heading home to Muswellbrook from Glen Innes, they weren't going to get home till late. I didn't know if she had any kids, because I was too terrified to talk to her. I was too afraid to talk to her. I didn't even know her name. And you know what I said to God? I said, God, if she's the one that you want me to marry, then God, I tell you what, she will write me a letter tonight and post it in the morning, and I'll receive the letter on Wednesday. And if I get a letter from her on Wednesday, God, then I'll know that she's the woman that you want me to marry. And I will contact her, and I'll set a date for 6 months. You think of the mathematics. I've heard driving all the way home after getting up early and, you know, 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning to get to the prison in time, all day sitting in the sun, then drive all the way back to Muswellbrook, then, which I didn't know she had kids, she would have had to pick her kids up, then she had to write a letter and post it on Monday for me to get it on Wednesday. Remember I said to you before, when God speaks to this, he spoke to this other woman, she come to the prison and said, Tony, you got to marry me. See, God didn't speak to me, he only spoke to her. Or she thought she heard from God. She could have been hearing from the devil. But either way, it was a distraction. It wasn't God's word. And I want you to know now there's a difference, because today, when I said to God, this is the woman you want me to marry, she will write me a letter. But you see, God spoke to her on the way home. Even though I was rude, arrogant, I didn't talk to her, and God spoke to her and told her she had to write me a letter when she got home. God didn't come out and exactly say to her that, you know, you're going to marry this guy. But she had this overwhelming word from God to write me a letter. Not just to write me a letter, but it had to be posted the next morning. And she did all that. And then Wednesday, I'm in the prison and they give the mail out at 4:30 after workmaster. And I'm lined up in the line with all the other prisoners. And it takes a while to do mail call because there's 100 prisoners. And so when the mail was distributed, there was nothing for me. There wasn't a letter for me. And I was so sure and convinced that I heard from God. And you know, I mean, I was really peeved off because I had me hopes up that she was the one that I was going to marry and I was going to get out of prison. You know what? I started to walk away from the lineup, and I remember saying to God like it was yesterday, I said, God, are you jerking my chain? Are you getting my hopes built up and then nothing? And you know what happened? I'd only just finished saying that, mouthing off to God, saying, you know, you're jerking me chain around, you got me hopes up. Then the prison guard calls out to me. I mean, he yelled out, he said, Deno. I said, what do you want, sir? He said, oh, I got a letter for you. He said, I was just playing with you. He said, I don't know why I didn't give it to you, but he said, it's in my back pocket. He said, you want to come and get it? And I remember looking at the address on the letter. I saw her name at the back of the letter, and it said from Muswellbrook. And I knew, without a quiver in my heart, that this was from her, and that God wasn't jerking my chain. God wasn't messing with me. God was keeping his promise.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise and to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
I'm so glad I've learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, will be with me too.
Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him.
Tony's favourite singer, Alan Jackson, there with Tis So Sweet. God can be trusted in every area of your life. Tony discovered this when God honored his promises after Tony doubted. God's love for us is so amazing, and we often overlook him as we go about our daily lives. Tony's story doesn't end here. Tony will share how Mandy reacted when he told her that she was the one God told him to marry. This is King's Kids. I'm Heidi. Thanks for your company today. If you would like a copy of this episode or any episode you have heard, contact Tony on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. And he would be more than happy to organise the episode for you. You can also find us on Facebook at King's Kids Ministries International. Bye for now. God bless.